you. When you need to know what's happening, it's time to get in the huddle with Carl Dukes, Brian Baldinger, and Jason LaConforta.
Hey there, welcome to the latest edition of the In the Huddle podcast. We appreciate you guys tuning in as always. Check out all things NFL. You can find us across all the different platforms, YouTube, listen to us on Spotify, check us out on the Odyssey app. We do this each and every week at least once. I'm Jason LaConfora. Brian Baldinger is with us. Baldy, you are in Indianapolis or you are headed to Indianapolis? Or
headed to Indianapolis. Layover here in Florida. Got a bunch of tape on some of these prospects to break down before I get down there. I'll be down on the floor, you know, evaluating some of these guys for a variety of different groups. And so I'm excited about going. It's been a while since I've actually been to the combine. So I'm excited about watching this group because I think there's always something to learn.
Yeah.
Just being there live, that's why it's so well attended. It's basically where a lot of this business that's going to happen over the next couple months begins to take place. As you know, Jason, some of the structures and conversations about trades, obviously the quarterbacks are in the news. They're always in the news. Some of these things kind of get started in Indianapolis here. And they're all arriving today. They begin their physicals and their workouts on Thursday. And so I'm going to be there Thursday morning.
Well, it is the NFL's sort of annual convention. It is the NFL's version of baseball's winter meetings and the hot stove league. It is when business gets done. So let's start there. As everyone's booking their flights to Indianapolis, we have not the greatest collection of quarterback talent we've ever seen, but certainly a number of names who it now looks like are definitely going to be changing locations, but figuring out where they go, boy, that's the tricky part. We've talked on this podcast about Matt Stafford and maybe having a murky future with the Rams. I've been hearing and writing for weeks that Sam Darnold has googly eyes for Sean McVay. And if they moved on from Stafford for any reason, that, you know, Sam Darnold, if they don't put the transition tag on him, I would, Baldy. But if they don't, I think that's the next quarterback probably of the L.A. Rams. Mm-hmm. That's a fit. But, like, where is the match for Aaron Rodgers? Where does Russ Wilson end up? How quickly does Justin Fields get signed? Kirk Cousins. There's a lot. There's a game of sort of match here going on, and I'm not sure who matches where.
Well, it's always been a game of musical chairs because we never have enough quarterbacks to go around, and there's so many quarterback needy teams. You know, starting with the New York Giants at three, just go through the list. We all kind of know that. But I feel like at the very top of the list of this group is Stafford and, you know, along with Sam Darnold. I feel like Stafford, it looks to me, Jason, you've been writing about it, but it looks to me like this is a real money issue. Like, he's right now, there's 10 quarterbacks, I believe, maybe it's nine, Jason, that are making north of $50 million.
Yes.
And Stafford wants to be in that group, and he's not anywhere near it.
Yeah.
So I don't see the Rams holding on to it right now.
No.
Like, And so they're going to need a quarterback, period. And Darnold makes all the sense. I remember when Sam was in San Francisco for that year, and I was around him a little bit. I mean, he fell in love with the Kyle Shanahan system, fell in love with it. Like, it's everything about how you practice, the where the emphasis is taking place, the offense, the input of him in the offense. Like, I feel like after you go to San Francisco for a year, you watch Brock Purdy excel. You watch the way Kyle Shanahan runs the practice. You then go to Minnesota, and you have this breakout year, and you watch how Kevin O'Connell operates. To me, it all goes back to Sean McVay. I mean, this is his tree. Like, it would make all the sense in the world. Like, I feel like they could almost pick up where Stafford left off with Sam Darnold. This is a question of Les Snead, Sean McVay, figuring out the finances, and they're as good as anybody at doing that. So, like, if you want to just start moving the pieces around, if Minnesota doesn't franchise tag, okay, and they feel like J.J. McCarthy is ready to go, then, okay, we don't have to pony up the $40-plus million in Minnesota for the year. Sam could be happy with the Rams. And then this whole machination of, okay, the wheels are spinning, the Ferris wheel of quarterbacks, where's the next one to get off?
This much we know, the Rams are not stupid. When they went through this with Jared Goff, they knew, okay, the Aaron Rodgers thing's deteriorating in Green Bay, right? And Stafford had been quasi-available for already a year. Like, you knew that Detroit had kind of done their last big deal with him. And Detroit was still in rebuilding mode, so they knew they had options. Clearly here, they know they have options. I don't think they look at Aaron Rodgers the same way now as they did 4 or 5 years ago. But I'm with you. I think Darnold's a scheme fit. I think you get Darnold for less money at an earlier with more upside for more years than going year to year with Matt Stafford, which was essentially what they were doing. The Raiders might be in position to draft one, or look, I think three are going in the first round, and if it's three, it might be four, because now there's all this buzz about the kid from Louisville. So they could draft one. Would Pete Carroll want to play that one right away? I don't know. Tom Brady's a part of this thing now. What do you think the Raiders are up to?
I remember talking to Pete when he first went to Seattle. Like, when he left USC and he went to Seattle, and of course, you know, obviously they paid, you know, a Packers backup a lot of money to be the starter, and Russell Wilson came in and won the job literally in the first week. And, you know, Pete always told me, he goes, he didn't have any problem playing rookies. He goes, he'll live with the mistakes that most rookies make early on in their career. But if they're the right guy, they're going to figure it out. They're going to fix it. They're not going to repeat mistakes. And they're going to be better team for it later in the year. So is that quarterback available? I don't know. I mean, we can. This is a story for this week, next week, all the way up to the draft on just where this class is. Because the preliminary – feeling and why these free agents that we're talking about are so valuable right now. And I don't think many people feel like these are day one starters are going to do what CJ Stroud just did, you know, what Bo Nix just did, what Jaden Daniels just did. My gut feeling is Shador, Cam, Daxon, like, that's not this class. That's it's early, and I don't want to tell any player that they can't do what the three guys I just mentioned. But to Pete Carroll's case, like, he's not afraid to play a rookie. Even at quarterback, obviously, Russell Wilson was ready. He was a 5-year player in college, played a lot of games, very mature kid. He came in and played great right away. So he's open-minded to it if it's one of these guys.
Pete wasn't 73 then, Baldy. Pete wasn't 73. He was, what, 60? Well, right? Russ has been in the league for 12 or 13 years.
Yes.
He wasn't 73, Baldy, coming off a year in the abyss, right, where he was out of coaching for the first time since he was 16 years old or whatever.
Yep. No,
where
you're
does
right.
Matt
right. And I don't know what you're going to get. I mean, like, do you want to believe that Matt Stafford would be happy with the New York Giants? Pittsburgh makes the most sense. Like, they're going to address – Pittsburgh makes sense, Jason. It makes sense. They've got a defense. They're building the offense line. Their number one pick last year was hurt all year. Fatano, he's coming back. They're probably going to hit. I mean, I've talked to people in Pittsburgh. There's a certain free agent offense line that's going to be available out there that they have their eyes on. Like, they know, and I don't think that, you know, there's a certain running back isn't going to be there this offseason. So I feel like they could build a wall that Stafford needs. You give Stafford time, he can still carve you up. The pass game has to get better. They have to go find another receiver. So there's some things they've got to do that would be part of the conversation that Omar Khan, Mike Tomlin, Andy Wider would have with a guy like Matt Stafford. What he's looking for is the weather a factor for Stafford at this age, playing in November, December in that division? Might be a consideration. Maybe. Could be a consideration. Never had to really deal with that much in Detroit. Play a couple games in Chicago, Green Bay. But so those are some considerations. But they need a quarterback. They need a quarterback bad, like a lot of teams. Yeah. So you have to have the discussion. You have to pick up the phone. You have to talk to his agent in Indianapolis. All those things have to – all that preliminary stuff has to get done.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past Pittsburgh at all to make this move. And for people saying, well, that's a lot of money and this or that, they were paying Ben Roethlisberger $50 million. Like, it's not like they're not used to paying. Like, they paid – and they paid Ben probably one contract longer than they should have in hindsight. So it's not like they're scared to pay an old quarterback. Like, they just did it. The Cousins one is – interesting to me. There's no way he's going back to Atlanta. Atlanta's going to have to eat money to move him. I just like he holds all the cards though, Baldy. He's got a no trade clause. So he's in the same boat as Stafford. He's going to be able to steer this thing wherever he wants it to go. I wonder if that could be the Giants.
Well, what Kirk Cousins are you getting with all these guys? What Kirk Cousins? Like I saw him live, Jason, in Minnesota, like maybe week 15 against the Vikings. And he was awful. He was awful. But he was like that for much of the season. He was not a productive quarterback. And are we seeing the real slide, or is this just a fallout of a torn Achilles and he needs a whole year? You know, he was in shotgun. He wasn't under center in that offense in Atlanta. He was under center with in Minnesota. A lot of play action passes, which were we was in Washington, Minnesota. He was always at his best. Play action passes, making good decisions. He had a good arm. Like all the, but you didn't see that last year. The offense was different.
No.
And were they in shotgun last year because of the offense, or was it because of his health?
Right.
And he just couldn't push away from center the way you got to be able to push away, the way Brady has done, the way Stafford still does. Like, could he do it? And so do they just sort of, okay, we've got you in this little postage stamp area right here, Matt, just, or Chris, you know, like go do your thing. Man, it's a gamble. It's a gamble to go give Kirk Cousins a two-year contract in New York, one of these places that needs a quarterback or bridge quarterback, however you want to look at it, and go, he was not good last year. Is the health better, and do we get a return to Kirk Cousins of playoff form in Minnesota?
Well, if they subsidize the contract like I think they will, you can basically rent Kirk Cousins for 20 a year. They were just paying Daniel Jones $40 million to be a backup.
Yeah.
Right, Daniel Jones was benched, so he didn't get hurt, so they weren't on the hook for any future money on that contract. So for them, the math might work. I will tell you this, to your point about scheme and everything else, with Kirk Cousins having a no-trade clause, I will bet my life that wherever Kirk Cousins goes, it's an established play caller. It's he just went through this thing, with like you just talked about, with Zach Robinson and doesn't fit. Like, that's why I say the Giants, because I think he and Brian Daboll could have, you know, a reasonable conversation.
Well, they could have.
Where he is in his career, what he can do, you know what I mean? What I do. Yeah. Hey, you drafted that kid, first round wide receiver. Let me throw play action bombs to him, right? And let's run the football.
Yep. Jalen Hyatt, Wandale Robinson, you know, do they go get, you know, Travis Hunter with the third pick and go, okay. And Tyrone Tracy was a great rookie last year. And let's go add an addition to the offensive line. Let's get a right tackle. Let's put Illuminar in a guard where he belongs. And, okay, Kirk, come play. Like, I could see that if Daboll feels like he's getting at least a version of 2023 Kirk Cousins or 2022. Yeah. If you had a pretty good feeling you could get that version of Kirk, that would be a good landing spot.
I have trouble with the Aaron Rodgers one. The one that I kind of can sell myself on, if it's not the Raiders, Tennessee, like trying to get a stadium built, they're kind of like, aren't they one of the most anonymous teams? Like, I'm just trying to think like an owner, right? Because ultimately he's got to convince a billionaire. Like, this isn't just a football decision. Like, you got to get the owner on board. We're going to bring this guy in our building.
Yeah.
So could he sweet talk their ownership group into saying, I'll be a perfect fit in Nashville. New York was a cesspool. This is the smallest media. One of the, you know, we got three beat writers here. We had 32 beat writers there. Like, it was never a good fit. The coach wasn't any good. You got an offensive coach. He was a defensive coach. Like, you guys are stable. Everything was crazy there. Could he circumvent the football people, get a meeting with the owner, and convince her that I'm going to put your team on the map and it'll be a great redemption story, and the kid you draft can sit for a year. It'll be for the best anyway. And you know what I mean? I know that I could make music with Callahan and his daddy. Like, I don't know. Like, I, you know, I'll do it for $25 million a year. Like, that's one where I do wonder, like, they're trying to raise their profile. Like, I don't know.
Well, the only quarterback this has ever worked for is Brady, okay? And he's a GOAT for a reason. So you don't know what you're going to get, because even largely last year he was banged up.
Yeah.
You know, even a year removed, he was largely – now, is those issues that he had, the knee, the ankle, the things that we knew he was struggling with last year, like, are they just going away at this age? It is a violent sport. You get hit. You can go draft all the number one picks you can, the way – Tennessee has. You can get Bill Callahan there running your line, and you can do certain things. What are they doing as a franchise? If this is – like, what is this? Like, because ultimately you want to go compete with and win this division, and you're going to compete against C.J. Stroud at age 24 for the next 10 years, and they've got that position fixed. Now they got to fix their offense line. What are you doing as a franchise? Will Levis didn't work. Okay, you took a shot. It happens all the time. Took a shot. He's not the guy. But still, like, is this a good thing to do? Like, he was not good last year, Jason. Anybody want to throw statistics at me with touchdowns, interceptions? He was not a good player last year. And the problem is, last year, and maybe it was because of the injuries to a large degree and what he was dealing with, but he was in a big hurry to get rid of the football. He would not let plays develop. And then he could not – and I don't care what the final stats say. He could not put the ball where he wanted to put it. It happened all the time. Like, you've got – you know, I don't – pick a guy. You've got Devontae Adams, who had a better connection with anybody's ever played with. He couldn't get the ball to Devontae Adams when he had to at times. And I just think this is going to be – I don't know. Like, he's gone dark. I don't know if he's in the cave, where he's at right now. Yeah. We haven't heard from him. Does he really want to play? And if he does, how soon? Because he's got to get this thing. They've got to cement this thing, obviously, before the draft. And really, before free agency. So you've got, like, a couple weeks here before you got to get this thing figured out.
Look, I wouldn't touch him. And that's why I'm not making football arguments here. I'm making business arguments.
You know
what I'm saying? Because, that's how it's got to be. It's got to be like, hey, do you want a free advertisement on Pat McAfee's show while I'm wearing Titans gear for an hour every Tuesday? You know what I mean? Do you want First Take talking about us when we're good, bad, or indifferent? Like, you've sucked for a while and everybody's ignored you. Like, would you rather suck in the limelight? I don't know. Like again, they're trying to get the state. They're trying to get a stadium built. They're trying to get in the Super Bowl sort of mix. Like, I could he appeal? And I'm looking at quarterback needy teams who have ownership that he might be able to sort of sway. It's where in a city where he thinks he would like it, in an environment that's much more like Green Bay than it is Florham Park, New Jersey, and East Rutherford, New Jersey, right?
Yeah.
And so this checks some boxes. I don't even know if it'll happen. I wouldn't touch him. I think it's over. Everything's telling you, if you're watching the film and you're crunching the numbers, that it's over. But we see people take chances on people in this league all the time, and it's not always about football.
But what's it say, honestly, about where we're at that position in this league, where you're going to go new general manager, second-year coach, all those issues that are around surrounding the franchise? Like, what's it say, bigger picture, about the quarterback problem in the NFL if this is a good option for you? Like, it's just crazy that we're at this stage right now after what we just saw the last 2 years.
Baldy, this Green Bay Packers, speaking of Green Bay, they have been, I guess, outed as the people behind the movement to ban the tush push formally and to try to put this before the competition committee and the owners to eradicate it. I guess player health and safety would be the argument. They've allowed this to fester. In your day and age, I remember when I watched football and you tried to push somebody holding the ball carrier in any way like a human joystick, they threw a flag immediately.
Yeah,
now, they've opened that up. They've allowed it to become a part of the game. It's such a part of the game, it's got multiple freaking nicknames, right? I mean, there's more than one thing to call this now.
Yes. Well,
do we really like, so they allowed this to become a part of people's game plans and operations. Certain people do it better than others. And now it's going to be thrown out. I don't know. That strikes me as odd, but they do odd things.
Well, I mean, it's one team, and it's not like there hasn't been a team before this. I mean, whether it's Mark Murphy in Green Bay, whoever is behind it, but it has been on the table for two straight years in a row since the Eagles started to employ it, about whether to legalize it, put it out. It's been a topic of conversation. Troy Vincent coming out. I remember being at an NFL seminar. I can't remember if it was Pariah that was running the seminar, whoever, but it was one of the guys. And I was saying, well, how do you officiate this play? And they're like, well, you know, we've really studied it hard. And as soon as the quarterback or the ball carrier, whether it's Mark Andrews in Baltimore, whoever might be doing it, as soon as they start going sideways, we blow the whistle. We blow it dead. Well, it's almost impossible to officiate where to blow it dead. We're still unsure whether Josh Allen got the first down or didn't get the first down.
Oh, right.
The irony about if it's Green Bay, and we believe it's Green Bay, the irony is Green Bay stopped it twice this year in Brazil. They stopped the play. Like nobody else had that kind of success. But, you know, other teams have tried it. They don't really understand how to coach it. It's a difficult play to coach because you can't really practice it. So the Eagles have more work at it than anybody. And, you know, they transitioned from Jason Kelce to Cam Jurgens doing it. So it's more than just the center. But I remember talking to Jeff Stoutland, the offensive line coach of Philadelphia, about the play. And he was sort of – his comeback to me was, Baldy, when we had Carson Wentz, we were 36-38 on quarterback sneaks. Like, we know how to coach the short yardage plays. Basically, what he's telling me. We don't – if they eliminate the twist push, we'll just coach the quarterback sneak the way Carson ran it. So I just think – I think it's a play that, honestly, if they outlaw it, won't bother me at all. I don't really like it. I like a team really earning the first down. Tom Brady was probably the best short yardage goal line quarterback of all time, whether he was sneaking it behind the guard or jumping over the top. Like, he was the best. And there was strategy to what he did to be the best, whether he was going against the Ravens and Ray Lewis or whatever. So I do think you lose some of that strategy. And Drew Brees was great at it. And Sean Payton knew how Drew Brees to get a yard. He knew how to get a yard. I just think some teams are just poorly coached, period. Yeah. And they might be one of those teams that says, let's eliminate it, you know. So I think it's like we're doing right here. It's open to discussion. But the Eagles have perfected it. Now Saquon Barkley can, you know, bench press or squat 700 pounds. And so can, you know, Jalen Hurts. And together, like, that, those are two offensive linemen helping to push.
Finally, Baldy, one last controversy, or for me, faux controversy. Who's going to do what at the combine? Oh, we obsess about this. This is a whole cottage industry now, reporting on who's going to do what. As far as I can tell, this CBA has it jerry-rigged, so these kids have to stay in school for basically 3 years as a minor league to the NFL. You've got all that game film on them. You're going to be able to bring 30 of them into your building. You're going to go visit them on their campuses. You're going to go to all their pro days. Your medical people are still going to be able to put their hands all over them in Indianapolis. Like, do we really care now if Shedeur Sanders runs a scripted set of exercises in Indianapolis, but only does them in Colorado? Like, is this really a thing?
Well, when CJ Mosley goes out there and throws the football like he did, it is. When Jordan Davis runs the way he did, it is. When Xavier Worthy breaks the record, it creates a buzz. And I feel like that's what we're looking for. We're just looking for some guy that's going to vertical jump, you know, David Thompson-type numbers, 45 inches. And we're gonna just celebrate, you know, some things like that. Behind the scenes, the interviews, I think, are all staged. I don't know how much you actually get. The medical is important. But I would say there are some measurables that really do apply to the NFL. If you watch Joe Tooney play left tackle in the Super Bowl, he got exposed. He's a guard. He's got the arm length of a guard. Even when a rookie like Jalen Hunt hits him with the long arm, his arms are too short to combat it, and down goes Mahomes. So there are certain things. Like, I'm not a big combine guy. I don't really care about a lot of the actual drills don't make any sense to me. To start a defensive lineman on his back or an offensive lineman on his back makes no sense to me at all. None. Like, the drill doesn't transfer at all. So there's certain things that they do that I just go, okay, I mean, that's just show. It's just TV. It's made for TV. Rich will do it, and Daniel Jeremiah will do a great job, you know, for the NFL Network, you know, analyzing it. And they have all their graphics to watch Rich run this 40-yard dash against some, you know, Daryl Grant or whatever. So there's a place for it. But it's not going to go away, though. It's not going away.
No, it's not going away. I just think there's so many different ways to scout and evaluate these kids.
Yes, there is.
But, like, we obsess about some baloney stuff. But anyway, Baldy was on his way to Indianapolis. We will check in with him from there next week. We'll continue to talk about all the hot topics in this league that never rests throughout the offseason. Again, you can check us out on basically any platform that audio is available. You can watch every episode on YouTube. You can go back and watch old episodes and see how smart or not so smart we turned out to be. We appreciate you checking us out as always, and we'll kick it with you next week again on the In the Huddle podcast.
.400 Sports is an Odyssey company.